Here at Living in the Sprawl, we make it a point to check out and try local cuisine wherever we visit. We all have those foods and places that trigger nostalgia or that we crave after a super memorable trip. Gold Belly makes it easy to find your favorite foods or try new ones in just a couple of clicks from wherever you are in the world. Gold Belly also makes it easy to send delicious, unique gifts to your loved ones, whether it's Lou Malnati's deep dish from Chicago, a Philly cheesesteak from Pat's, or a slice of heaven from Junior's Cheesecakes in New York. They add new places almost daily, so click on the link in the show notes or on our website to check them out and let them know we sent you.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Living in the Sprawl, Southern California's most adventurous podcast. My name is John Steinberg, your humble correspondent and host. Sitting alongside me, as always, is my lovely and extraordinarily talented producer slash fiance. Her name is Lisa Lowe, and this week you're going to be hearing a bit more from her, as we have a topic in our crosshairs that is near and dear to both of our hearts. So, do not be alarmed when you hear that magnificent voice that is different from my own. It is the phenomenal and uber-talented Lisa Lowe. So, for this week, that topic, which I alluded to, is food halls. Not a bazaar, not farmers markets, we've already covered that. Not public markets. It's weird. There are actual distinctions for these various city features, and sometimes they do not enjoy being typecast as one thing when they feel like they're something else entirely. For our benefit, we're going to be examining some trend-setting food halls in Southern California that have the capacity to cater to anyone. Now, food halls are significantly different from your garden variety food court. You will never see a Subway or a Chipotle or a McDonald's at a food hall. Food halls are chef-focused, gourmet-inspired stalls that cater to anyone and everyone, yes, but those looking for a bit more from their culinary options. And in the last few years, a trend has set off in the Southern California region, with seemingly nary a week gone by without the opening of a new, glamorous, and well-funded food hall. As is our custom, your humble correspondent and host and his lovely and talented producer slash fiance have scoured Southern California in search of those most laudable food halls. And so that is what we bring you this week. Now, I should note before we begin, downtown Los Angeles has the greatest food hall, not only in our region, but quite possibly the entire West Coast, nay, maybe even the United States. And I mentioned it during the first installment of Living in the Sprawl during our discussion of downtown, and I have plans for Grand Central Market at a future date, so that is going to be mentioned during a later broadcast where we can dedicate the proper amount of time, which that location definitely needs dedicated to it. So, just know that going in. So here we go. At number 10, Steel Craft Food Hall. This is in Long Beach. Actually, there are two other food halls under the Steel Craft subheader that are in Bellflower and Garden Grove. But this is the one to truly be concerned with. And the idea for it was, as is the case with so many phenomenal new projects that have come to fruition in the past 15 years, repurposing crates that come in from the nearby port of Long Beach. So if you have occasion to go to Steelcraft Long Beach, you have opportunity to have some of the best pizza in the area, this being the slices you can find at DiSano, which is a real favorite of Angelino's. The original shop is on Santa Monica Boulevard in the East Hollywood area. I've had it. It's great stuff. Smog City Brewing is on hand for your coffee needs, because we know how many of you are addicted to the stuff. Tacos are in tow. And more than anything else, repurposing old crates reeled in straight from the Port of Long Beach, turning that into an outdoor food hall is something of a stroke of genius. And this is one of those get in on the ground floor early where I can see development and larger ambitions for the project that might carry it into a different part of this list. But as for now, if you're interested in a nifty ode to refurbished architecture and a tremendous slice of pizza, Steelcraft has you covered in Long Beach. At number 9, we return to my favorite portion of the city, that being DTLA, downtown Los Angeles, settling in at 541 Spring Street at the Spring Arcade Food Hall. Inside, you will find some phenomenal gelato from Yuli's, as well as one of the city's best Taiwanese spots in Rice Box. That spot's garnered quite a bit of acclaim from Eater, Los Angeles Times, Infatuation, those kinds of restaurant aggregators. A crepe making place and a British style restaurant called the Clayton, with seats that made me feel as though I was having dinner alongside the Beast from Beauty and the Beast prior to him becoming the Beast, when he was an actual flesh and blood human being. And what I mean by that is the backs of the chairs had a remarkably regal feel to them, like you were royalty, even though I showed up in my requisite Los Angeles Dodgers baseball cap. Now, the Spring Arcade building, which is at the, well, the Spring Arcade part of the building is at the bottom. It is a 40-story high-rise, and it's actually been used as, quote-unquote, the Spring Tower in a couple of different movies. It's where Adam Sandler auditions unsuccessfully for a job as a bank teller in The Wedding Singer. It is the office that Bradley Cooper's newspaper writer character works at during his 2 seasons on the show Alias. And it's been in a whole bunch of other things. But now, within the last couple of years, this food hall has taken over, and there's a lot of great stuff there to be found. Guisados, the ubiquitous guisados. If you are interested in tacos that have their lineage traced right here to the City of Angels. And it's really Rice Box, though, that I would argue to be kind of the anchor of this particular food hall. And yet, as I say that, I find my mind veering back and forth between the banana gelato at Uli's and the fish and chips I had the pleasure of munching on while feeling like the Beast with my cousin a couple of years ago. So we always embrace downtown Los Angeles on Living in the Sprawl, and when they produce really interesting, innovative projects like the Spring Arcade Food Hall, we definitely will always have a place for them on one of our lists. And in this case, they come in at number 9.
At number 8, we go to the city of Stanton, which is adjacent to Anaheim. I had not heard of Stanton before, and so since dating our humble correspondent and host, I have learned so much about this city. So number 8 is Rodeo 39 Public Market, and their website will state that Rodeo 39 comes from combining Highway 39 and Beach Boulevard, which is where this food hall is located, and capturing the excitement and energy of a rodeo, which is a gathering of people together and a roundup of good times. So if you wanted to know where the name comes from, that's where it does. This food hall is kind of in a very large shopping center. So it's kind of tucked in there. And you have some big box stores also in the shopping center, but there's plenty of parking, which is a big plus for when you're going to see a food hall. The other thing that I will point out is that although food halls don't have any chain restaurants or anything like that, the beauty of the food hall for me is that you can go with your family, a group of friends, and there's almost something for everybody there. That being said, in this parking lot, you will also find an In-N-Out and Panda Express. So if you have kids, don't let it deter you or anything like that. There is something for everybody at this food hall. So at this particular one in Stanton, there is a beautiful patio where you can dine. They have some kind of doors that lift up, and so you kind of get that indoor-outdoor feel. It is truly a eat-drink-play kind of place. There's some retail shops in there. You can even get a tattoo in the middle of the food hall, which is kind of interesting. The shop is all made of glass, and so when I was there, I saw somebody getting a tattoo on their arm. You can get everything from your coffee and tea to your pho, ramen, burger, pasta, all the way to dessert. So you have your ice cream, you have your macaroons, you have just about everything. Particularly on this day, I went with my sister Jennifer, and we kind of walked around. We were picking up food to bring back to John and my parents. So we stopped. We got Crazy Kai's, which is Laotian food. And John and I had actually been to the brick and mortar in Corona last June for his birthday. So I have already had it, but I really encouraged my sister to try it because it was that delicious. And then for my parents and John, we brought back steel pan pizza. So really personal size pizza. They have a couple different combinations that you can pick from. Really kind of niche menu, but they do it really well. And finally, there is a stall called My First Kiss. They have kind of a dessert part of it. So here I got banana pudding for my dad, which is his favorite. I am a huge ube lover, and they had an ube banana pudding. And so if you know John's fiance / producer, she loves everything ube, peanut butter, chocolate, banana. So combining two of those makes a great thing. It's unique. You can get your ube cheesecake, cupcakes, all kinds of things at this dessert place. Across from there, the same company, My First Kiss, has a little flower shop / stand, so you can grab some fresh flowers, take them home to your loved one. And then they also have a beverage part, so they actually take up 3 stands in this food hall. So yeah, really great experience. Definitely if you're in Anaheim after a day at Disneyland, or you just don't want theme park food, definitely stop at Rodeo 39 Public Market in Stanton, and everybody will be happy.
At number 7, Citizen Public Market in Culver City. Now, in yet another example of converting old-timey buildings and businesses into modern-day palaces of fine food, this food hall includes stalls from Los Angeles luminaries like Nancy Silverton, whose Pizette offers, let's say, a very wealthy person's version of a personal pan pizza. Also incredibly tasty. You have Good Boy Bob Coffee, the WeHo Sausage Company, and this place has only been around roughly 2 years, so they are very much still in expansion mode. But this used to be the building where this is located, used to be a printing house, a house where newspapers were printed, and one that competed with William Randolph Hearst publications. So I have to imagine that Luella's Soul Kitchen, which is another stall inside of the food hall, is a passing reference to famed gossip columnist Luella Parsons. It's really downtown Culver City, which is an area that no one was going to 15 years ago, and now there are a number of restaurants and locations that make it family friendly for everyone. Again, because we still are in the early stages of its existence, Citizen Public Market has a little bit of room to go, but given the pedigree of people like Nancy Silverton and Good Boy Bob Coffee and its location writ large, this is one that I feel like will be around for quite some time, bringing fine cuisine to the denizens of Culver City. So, if you're in the area, want to check out something new, something pretty ambitious, with a couple names that you may have heard of, recommend Citizen Public Market. And number 6, Mercado La Paloma. This takes us back into, well, just outside of downtown, really close to USC. So this food hall is fashioned out of a former garment factory that existed for a number of decades until a really noble and awesome organization called Esperanza got together. Their mission statement is to take on projects that benefit the lives and businesses of the individuals who reside within the Figueroa Corridor. So this Esperanza organization helped to turn this former garment factory into a world-class food hall with two options that are in the debate for best 100 places, period, in the city of Los Angeles. But inside the food hall, you will find Asla, you will find Thai Corner, Oaxaca, California. So what they're trying to do is blend Oaxaca and California. And forgive me, that was the best way that I could pronounce it. But in any event, a combination of Oaxaca and California, and that's the cuisine as well. And then the immortal, the Jonathan Gold approved whole box, as well as Chichen Itza. Whole box has, I believe, the best ceviche in the entire, well, in the entire region. I was going to say the city of Los Angeles, but no, I'd like to expand that definition to include every terrain which we cover here on Living in the Sprawl. You need this ceviche in your life. If you've had ceviche, you think you've got a pretty good understanding of what tip-top ceviche actually tastes like, then your mind will be blown when you sample the cuisine at Whole Box. And next, well, it's basically next door, is Chichen Itza, which is remarkable in its own right. Both of these restaurants have obtained kudos from all of the food publications that have Los Angeles in their crosshairs. And for honestly, for those two stalls alone, a trip to Mercado La Paloma would be a must. But if, okay, let's say you're a new student at USC, you'd like to take your parents to an interesting, cost-effective place that is right across the street from campus, Mercado La Paloma is your move. They can get the Thai, you can get Chichen Itza or Whole Box. Other items are sold there. I know that there's a sports stall with jerseys and various sporting goods, but you are here for the food. specifically the places that I mentioned, but I'm sure Oaxaca, California is also very magnificent. So we love places like this, organizations like Esperanza, who help to aid the community as they refurbish and repurpose buildings that might otherwise become personalityless condominiums. We are here for it at Living in the Sprawl. We're here for Mercado La Paloma.
At number 5 on our list is a bit questionable. Some may argue that this should not be counted on our list, but I am going to push for it and argue that it should. Number 5 on our list is Far East Plaza in Chinatown. Though it's not in one space under one roof, it is in one building over 4 levels, and you can go to all of these within a few steps.
So at 727 North Broadway in Chinatown, we have the Far East Plaza, which, as my lovely and talented producer, on-air talent, and fiance pointed out, it is 4 stories and doesn't necessarily abide by the conventional structure of a food hall as you might know it. But you know what? This is our podcast and our set of rules, and we wanted to include it. And we wanted to include it because the options are spectacular. So, at the Far East Plaza, we'll just go ahead and start with the obvious. Howlin' Rays. Okay, if you don't reside in the city of Los Angeles or Southern California, anywhere in Southern California, then perhaps it's understandable that you haven't heard of Howlin' Rays. Prior to the outbreak of the virus, lines would extend for 2.5, 3, 4 hours. I'm not kidding. I stood at them on 2 occasions and thought it was ridiculous until I actually had the good fortune of tasting the Nashville hot chicken sandwich, which they're famous for. And if we're operating under the premise that no food is worth a 4-hour line, well, then okay. But this one was. So, in addition to Howlin' Rays, another amazing option is Pearl River Deli. They have some phenomenal pork-forward dishes that have garnered much acclaim in the past couple of years. On the second level, you have Leo Tao, which offers some really nice, tasty, extraordinary bowls. Lassa, which is now La Cita, which is a place that specializes in Filipino food, Filipino chicken dishes. There's a great Vietnamese place. Again, it doesn't adhere to the normal stipulations that we've set out for what a food hall should be, but inside the Far East Plaza, which also has some of the best burgers in the entire city, made by Egg Sluts Alvin Kalin at Amboy. If you can't find something at Far East Plaza, then you belong at the Beverly Center's food court. At number 4, we take you to a land, well, far outside Culver City, downtown Los Angeles, some of the other places that we've talked about, a land known as Glendora. Specifically, the Glendora Public Market. Now, this debuted a couple of years ago to much fanfare. And when my lovely and talented producer, Miss Lisa Lowe, and I had an opportunity to check it out, we were enormously surprised by its level of quality, despite being such a newcomer. So here are a couple of highlights. You have Belly Bomb, which offers a dynamic rendition on dusted fries. So these are fries with very special, slightly hot seasoning, done up with love and care, of course. The Taco Man has a presence inside this food hall. And with the spicy chicken craze bordering on utter hysteria, we felt like we had to try Bolo and the spicy chicken sandwich. And though it's no Helen Ray's, we did enjoy this particular option. If you're looking for more American fare, Cassidy's has you covered. There's a Doghouse, much like the beer garden that you've seen at USC. And this is the type of place that hits the spot for those maybe looking to get out of the city of Los Angeles for a weekend. Maybe they are driving out to the mountains, ski season approaching. They're headed up to Big Bear, Lake Arrowhead, these types of places. And this is a terrific stop to refuel, get the kids out of the car, maybe a little bit energy out of them before leg two of the voyage is undertaken. And as has been the case with so many entries here on this particular list, this one's young and it's on the move. And we feel like in a couple of years, the Glendora Public Market will be a force to be reckoned with, though it's pretty much that already. So check it out, the Glendora Public Market. At number three, we head down south to the revitalized downtown portion of Santa Ana, settling in at the 4th Street Market. Now, I'll tell you, as somebody who grew up in Orange County, you would have needed a rather lengthy story to get a group of friends to make the trek from the west portion of Orange County over to kind of the east. And I, for one, wish that 4th Street Market had been in existence when I was growing up. Seems like the type of place that I would have adored so much more than the food courts at both Triangle Square and Fashion Island. So anyway, this is in the heart of downtown Santa Ana. It's right next door to the Frida Cinema, which is a great movie theater in its own right. They show independent cinema and all kinds of interesting pictures that you don't often get a chance to see in the theater. But yes, we are here for the food hall. And we're good company at the food hall. Naughty Panda. It's a vegan-inspired Asian option with everything from orange chicken to specialty rolls. The menu was enormous and the food delicious. Highly recommend Naughty Panda. My lovely and talented producer slash fiance and I both immensely enjoyed our experience with the Naughty Panda. And then afterward, we indulged in a little bit of dessert at Chunk and Chip, which sounded like a pretty damn fun name. So, as the name would imply, they sell artisan ice cream combined with deluxe cookies, and the marriage couldn't be any sweeter. Other stalls inside of the market, the iconic Burritos La Palma. Now, I've had Burritos La Palma at their flagship location in El Monte. If I could get the quality of Burritos La Palma without having to make that drive out to El Monte, because let's face it, there's not a lot going on in El Monte, I would gladly do that. And now Orange County residents have the capacity to be able to do that. There's also S'more Burgers and a couple of other obvious contenders. I love the location here, the scope of its ambition. I know that Food Beast is set up within this food hall to do a lot of their recording. You know, they produce podcasts and different social media activity. It's a step in the right direction for Santa Ana. Santa Ana, again, not being a real destination location, but now with the advent of the 4th Street Market, there are reasons aplenty to spend a day in a lovely downtown Santa Ana at the 4th Street Market. At number two, we have the Anaheim Packing District, which is housed inside a building that dates back to the year of our Lord, 1919, when said building was a sun-kissed packing house. Now, flash forward 100 years later, and rather than knock that building down, turn it into a parking lot like a Joni Mitchell song, or lavish overpriced condominiums, builders and owners have decided to turn this landmark building into a world-class European-style food hall. Your jaw will hit the floor the moment that you walk inside. I can't even list the amount of different options on display at the Anaheim Packing House. Otherwise, I would be talking, well, just really listing establishments for like an hour straight. I'll give you some of the highlights. I had White Elephant, great rendition of authentic Thai food. My lovely and talented producer slash fiance had some great Indian food. There was Georgia's Southern style cuisine. Honestly, every food group that I could conceivably imagine being there had a presence there. And more than that, you really do see history embedded in the walls of this location. All the workers putting in long hours, getting out the oranges on a timely basis so as to appease their sun-kissed bosses. It's always fun when buildings like this are repurposed, and rather than playing down the history, we play it up here and we kind of turn it on its head with the amount of genuinely great ethnic vendors in the fold here, offering cuisine from all around the world. An option for those of you not interested in spending $27 on two slices of pizza at the Magic Kingdom, or whatever the exorbitant prices now happen to be at the so-called happiest place on earth, which is very, very close nearby. I think that this is a food hall that, while perhaps designed for young professionals and people just kind of settling into their adult lives and starting families of their own, it can be a place to take the entire family, where everyone from grandma to the newborn will have cuisine at their disposal. So number two, a really, really impressive entry from Anaheim, the Anaheim Packing House. At number one, none other than the original Farmer's Market. On the corner of Fairfax and Third lies a food paradise. Brian Wilson sung about it for the Beach Boys, and countless films and television shows have paid homage to what is undoubtedly one of the coolest landmarks the city of Los Angeles has to offer. So, the Farmer's Market, it's been around since 1934, with the first stall being Magee's Kitchen, although it's not the best stall, I have to be honest. Dupar's, which my lovely and talented producer slash fiance and I just had, and their testament to the simplicity of a quadruple stack of buttermilk pancakes, complemented by an array of ethnic options ranging from Brazilians, see Pampas Grill for that, to a great French-style market, Monsieur Mansour, where I procured a delightful cheese arrangement, Patsy D'Amour's pizza, Bennett's ice cream, Papa Jake's sub shop, Phil's Deli, the list goes on and on, as well as the history and the customers who line up weekly to have an experience of their own at the original farmers market. So, as mentioned before, I'm from Newport Beach, and a special day would be Mom takes me up to Los Angeles. We stop for English toffee at the original farmers market, maybe get something to eat. Perhaps it's a Singapore's banana leaf. And then we head to LACMA for a Picasso exhibit. That happened twice when I was growing up. And again, my grandfather, who was the principal at Fairfax High School, I deeply wish that he were still alive so I could ask him about the various experiences that he had at the farmers market. Knowing him, I feel like he went to every single stall, and that's kind of my goal at this point as well. You could quibble with, hey, is it really even a food hall? It feels more like a bazaar from the Middle East, or it might not qualify on everyone's list. But again, as I mentioned, because we are leaving Grand Central Market off of this one, there's no better choice than to go ahead and finish Living in the Sprawl's list of the top 10 trend-setting amazing food halls in Southern California. No better place to end that particular journey than with an ode, tip of the cap, to the original farmers market with the iconic clock signifying the time of day and the smile that takes over my face every time I pass by 3rd and Fairfax. And that's going to do it for another edition of Living in the Sprawl.
I want to thank everybody for letting me be on and listening to my voice this episode. I've always appreciated your host, John, but a greater admiration for what he does on this podcast. I am definitely a behind-the-scenes kind of person. That's why we make a great team. You guys need to know that he does this without any notes in front of him. This is all off the top of his head. I did that little segment, and I needed notes in front of me. So hats off to your humble correspondent and host. He is amazing at what he does. Plus, he has the most amazing voice, and I'm not being partial because he is my fiancé. So thank you for having me on this episode.
And we love our lovely and talented producer / fiance Lisa Lowe. I thought she did a magnificent job in telling us about that public market in Stanton. I've never been there, and now I want to go there, thanks to her vivid, remarkable description. So if you'd like to get in touch with us, we certainly would love that. This episode, the genesis for it, something I'd been wanting to do, but it wound up corresponding with an email that we received from a gentleman named Scott. Not going to say your last name, but food halls, you wanted to hear it covered, we covered it. If you do write us, the email address is livinginthesprawlpodcast@gmail.com with suggestions for topics that you'd like to hear covered, like our dear friend Scott did for this particular episode. Or if you've got suggestions or thoughts or you'd like to correspond with us, please write us at that email. The social media stuff, the handle on Instagram is livinginthesprawlpodcast. And you can support us on Patreon. And again, we want to thank our first sponsor, Jim S. We have things coming. And I believe it's going to start next week or the week after that with our best burgers in the area list. So we want to make those Patreon episodes more sort of niche-based. Maybe not worthy of a main feed episode, but a damn interesting topic. Nonetheless, a topic that we have a great deal to say about. So please look for that in the near future. And if you would like to help us out, you can do that. And it's very easy. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple iTunes or wherever it is that you listen to the show. Those ratings have an outsized contribution. They help your show jump up the charts, gain more exposure to a wider audience, And if you add in a review, you know, maybe some nice comments, that type of stuff helps a lot. Ratings and reviews are, unfortunately, the lifeblood of any sustainable podcast, and we want to be around with you guys for quite some time. So with that, from our lovely household to yours, again, big shots to my lovely and talented producer slash fiance, the beautiful Lisa Lowe, who did a great job today. My name is John Steinberg, your humble correspondent and host. Thanking you again for listening to another episode of Living in the Sprawl, Southern California's most adventurous podcast. See you next time.